somebody, you might want to give yourself a little bit more room. We're going to be doing something called the breath of joy. So essentially, the breath of joy is a breath practice where you split your breath into kind of three parts with the inhale, and then you do a really loud exhale, and with that exhale, you want to release any tensions that you have or anything that might be something that you're holding inside of yourself and in your body that you don't want to stay in your body. Okay, so it looks like this. Start my day most days. So I challenge you, if you'd like to, join me in that practice. You'll learn a little bit, you'll learn a lot about me this morning with what I'm going to be sharing today. And I am not perfect. I am a hugely imperfect being, which is something that I have to come to terms with every day. So this morning, I wanted to kind of start off with this hooking moment that I experienced yesterday, where I was wishing that people were perfect. So last night, I got hooked for just a moment by something that at first I didn't even see. I was coming out of Little Harry's, where I had dinner with a friend of mine. And when I mean I got hooked by something, it's really that a thought got stuck in my head for a bit, almost turning from what I call clean pain to dirty pain. When you take something that's naturally occurring, like a typo on the sign that says detraction instead of distraction, and add onto it all the negative thoughts or extra frustration so that when something that's naturally occurring evolves into more of a wound than the original scratch or tiny cut. Okay. So this act of building something up so that we are hurting more than we have to be hurting in this world, so lacking peace and liberty and justice for all, challenges me. And this idea that I have to come to terms with people being imperfect, it seems such a challenge to me, having been somebody that was raised to be as near perfect as possible. So Viktor Frankl says, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged then to change ourselves. And I feel I am almost at that point, that time when the situation cannot be changed, and growing into myself and into the present moment. So when I wanted to create kind of a metaphor for today's talk as a poet, and in my life a metaphor, this idea of noticing dust came out when I really wanted to capture a moment that I feel is the only time I actually live in the present. And that's when light fills a room in a single stream and illuminates dust floating in the air, otherwise invisible. And that moment when the light fills and you see the dust and you notice it, you breathe, you take that pause, and you're living in the present moment. I'm not thinking about the future, I'm not thinking about my worries of the past. And I'm just grateful for noticing how beautiful something that is normally seen as dirty. And so that moment of gratitude and experiencing the present moment so wholly is something that I wish for always. And I wanted to kind of bring that idea into today's talk as I talk about my struggle with living in the present moment. But first, I would love to begin today with understanding each other a little bit more. Understanding and feeling heard and validating each other's human existence really helps me to feel compassion and empathy, to feel grounded in this present moment. So to do this, I have another exercise. So, I've got three questions, and if it applies to you, I would like you to stand up so I can learn a little bit about you, if that's possible. All right. So please stand up if you make your bed in the morning or most mornings. Thank you. If you peel carrots before you eat them, please stand up. Very good. Nice to meet you. And my last question to get to know you a little bit is, do you begin or end your day with a gratitude practice? If so, please stand up. Super rad. Thank you so much. Thank you. So you'll see why I ask those specific questions through my poetry, because the best way to get to know me is through my poetry. So I use poetry as a method to heal the hurting that we have to live with and the pain that we really have to grow through, regardless of how privileged we are. And so I do want to just acknowledge my privilege for a moment. So I am a white woman. I do come from a middle-class family in New Hampshire. I grew up in New Hampshire. And that does give me a certain amount of privilege. So I just want to acknowledge that and say that there are still struggles out there, and that it's okay to kind of live and hold both of those things simultaneously. So you're gonna get to know me through some poems today. I got to know you, so thank you all for sharing that. This first poem is called "That One Time I Sighed So Loudly I Looked Around to Not Apologize." There are two kinds of people on this planet. Those that believe they should be peeling the carrot before enjoying the carrot, and those who do not peel the carrot. Is it then hypocritical to say, I live somewhere between these two camps? See, I only peel the carrot when my mother comes to visit me. I believe the nutrition lives in the skin, and that a little dirt never hurt anyone. I believe in washing the carrots, I sure do, just not wasting. I am a food rescuer, I live as best I can without waste. Others? They give me weird side eyes when I pull out bottles and paper from the trash and move them to the recycling. I'll always choose a plant over a balloon for Mother's Day, and when I question someone's choice to give a balloon to their mother on Mother's Day, they hear me sigh loudly. So I see myself making a difference. Others don't believe that something so small, someone's everyday lonely choices can change the world. Every carrot peel I eat or balloon I don't buy and watch drift up to the sky, lost to the joy of a mom or a child, is choosing to stand with the earth. I stand with my choices to walk and bike and not own a car, to be okay using the bus without shame, to compost and buy food not wrapped in plastic, to think about my time here, shop locally, and consider who had to suffer for this to be here with me. My friends think my choices could use some editing, and it doesn't really matter. And perhaps that's true. The turtles are still growing around six-pack rings. But see, the thing is, I don't drink. I just sigh. To get to know a little bit about me with that poem, so thinking about my lifestyle, a few of you know me in the audience, so I work 5 jobs, and I don't sleep a lot because of that, but I choose to spend my time in other ways. Sometimes that's procrastination and distraction, or daydreaming, or plotting things on my calendar for months ahead of time. Other times it's writing and reflecting and being in that present moment with my poetry. But lately, I have not been sleeping, and that's been to motivate myself to be in that present moment, to notice that dust. So this one's called 45 minutes a night is enough, right? That's what we call a life. Wanting new, addicted to the familiar, bankrupt behavior, and then I don't sleep. It's a choice. To sabotage the inevitable tomorrow. I build and I burn, I build and I burn, I build and I burn, I build and I walk to the middle of the bridge. I stand there and I burn. I burn, I burn and I fall. It takes more climbing now when I'm nearly drowned, more energy to keep building, learning, growing. I know that if I continue to not sleep, I'll not be able to absorb new memories. My DNA code will get distorted. My genes will turn dangerous. They'll start to form tumors or forget to train my immune system as killer cells like assassins. Sleep is a life support system that I'm currently refusing. I've already pulled my own plug. I'm sabotaging my sleep, and it's such a simple thing, one would think, but it's not. That's what we call a life. Wanting new, addicted to the familiar. Even if that what is familiar is hurting us, sleep, a non-negotiable lifestyle luxury, privilege. I know this is not enough. 45 minutes a night can't be enough. I know the builders are tired, the bricks are looking a little dusty. I see this happening, I choose this happening, and yet here I am still, sometimes. And then on other nights, when I see the dust, clean it, and I go to bed. I remind myself what I am grateful for, three things, and I sleep just fine. And in the morning, it's a new day, and I make my bed, and I greet my crow. So a lot of the time, I have difficulty processing what this thing called the present is, the dust. I daydream about my future, where I schedule plans. My calendar is color-coded, and if you ever look at my calendar, a lot of folks get overwhelmed by it. But I distract myself with projects and working. And one of the real struggles I find myself getting hooked with is this idea that people don't want to live, and not just in the present moment, live in life. I am so grateful for being on this earth, and so when I encounter folks who deal with this idea of suicide or not wanting to be on the planet, whether it's the present moment or the future, because of the struggle of the past, that's when that really hits me. And I've been meditating on it a lot lately. So these next couple of poems are really about kind of my struggle with that idea, and it's a personal struggle with my younger sister. So my younger sister attempted to commit suicide several times as soon as I left the home and went away to college. So I have two sisters, an older one and a younger one. My older one went off to college, and then I did. And so it's just my younger sister and my mom at home. And that's when her attempts began. And my mom would call me when I was in college and tell me she was okay. But that time, you know, that she found her in the car with the garage door shut, or that she found a blaze, but that she would heal. I feel like I abandoned my sister in some ways when I left home, and even though we as a family have a compromise now, it's something that still doesn't feel quite right. See, my younger sister has agreed to live until the age of 35. Her birthday was May 9th, and she just turned 23. And at the age of 35, she has agreed that she will pull her own plug, so to speak. Kind of like what I do when I not sleep, like permanently. And we all have ways of slowing down or slowly hurting ourselves. There are days when I feel like it's all too much, but to know the real darkness of giving up totally is something I try to come to terms with, because it's really about being comfortable with the right now and being comfortable with having a future. So not allowing yourself to daydream, or not allowing your body to kind of daydream or your mind, is something that I have trouble understanding, and so I wanted to bring that to you today, kind of as a community, to seek support and to show that the way that I heal through something that I don't understand is through my poetry. So if you would like to process any of these next couple of poems, please feel free to speak with me afterwards, or if you feel like you have to step out because of sensitive subject for yourself, I encourage you. Extinction. This sudden dying out, the question of pause, as big as the universe collapsed, the end of possibilities. Like the slow and natural drip, drip, drip of isolated losses. Vanishing giants, like I'm a pillion mammatologist. This giant, a pronghorn, I prolong exactly 1 year and then another, the inevitable, promising demise, puzzling demise, a demise nonetheless, demystifying it all. It's an extinction nonetheless. That poem was Extinction, and this next poem is called Success. Men. Men with depression. Men who commit to suicide, men, those men, who are so dedicated to death, man, oh man, it's true, even in this, men are more likely to be successful in suicide. Women make more attempts, can't get it quite right, the first try, the second, the responsibility is weighing on her choice to die. Women, women. Women still learning how to sit the dead body, their babies, or their own. Men. 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 They get to leave it all behind. This next poem is called Oh Well. I draw the letter O over and over, desperate to make the line connect to itself, for it to touch its beginning, to know where it came from. I trace wells and pull kids out of them. I will. The boys are alive and not alive, and just as they are used to being soaked through to the bone and also are not used to being bone, the girls are barely holding on. Their whispers passing through polluted mouths, spell poverty, spell poor, too many O's and oh no's. I try to make myself whole again. So I keep drawing O's. The letters look more like broken U-turns, ill-connected embraces, incomplete. Will I, will the little ones, the younger ones, who will be whole? When will these letters feel portal, powerful, like privilege? This is my last poem to share with you about what I think about. And it's called Contrary to Popular Belief, Cedar Chests Are Not the Best Remedy to Rid Moths. So this poem is about clothes moths, which is never a poem I thought of, right? Have you ever tried to kill and get rid of clothes moths? Have you opened up your closet to hungry offspring, damaging how you tell the world who you are? You're choosing wool because a little scratching is a big comfort to someone with no comforts except for an expectation fulfilled. Did you know the adult moths don't have functional mouth parts and their silence keeps us safe? But their kids are just hungry, and you've got a supply to help reach them, cocoon status. Experts say that once the damage is noticed, the infestation has already begun. The preventative stage is an impossibility, no matter how often the vacuum is dragged around the carpet from the baseboards. Dust is akin to air, and that sometimes in small spaces, nothing matters except suffocation. Have you ever tried to kill yourself and get rid of your jacketed smile so full of holes? Contrary to popular belief, cedar chests are not the best remedy. So in closing, it's okay not to be perfect, and it's okay not to understand things. The way that I heal through this is doing my best attempts to live in that present moment and to akin that moment of pause and that acknowledgement of breath and that dust is filled with that beautiful air when you see it. I hope that I can bring that to most of my other moments in life, even though I acknowledge that I don't always care for myself. And I'm trying to connect those dots where that slow hurting that I'm doing to myself may not be so dissimilar to someone who has a goal, like my younger sister does. And that motivation that we all seek to make a difference in the world, whether it's through work or through a passion, is something that we all grow with and struggle with as well. And it's something that I grow and struggle with through poetry and through my art. I hope that this random collection of poems, seemingly, and my talk today gives folks an opportunity to reflect and to practice in their own life as well, and to grow into yourselves.